First, the Fox Valley is one of the areas in Wisconsin seeing a growing new trend in senior living. They're called granny pods. Companies are building small external living quarters onto single-family properties, either as standalone structures or attached to an existing home. The idea is to give seniors the independence of living on their own while still being close to loved ones. It's not an option for everyone, but it highlights the ways that seniors and their families are dealing with the difficulties of finding senior housing. Our next guest has some guidance for how to navigate housing for our aging population, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you're dealing with right now as a senior yourself or someone working with a family member? What challenges are you seeing in the world of senior housing? That covers a lot of territory. What kind of things are you looking for? Are you finding them in your area? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie Mulkey is Director of the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources in the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Carrie, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
Now, this was new to me. Have you seen much about these so-called granny pods or other similar sort of add-on housing alternatives for seniors?
I have. They've actually been around for quite some time, but I would say that as of late, these have they're becoming more popular as families are recognizing the benefits of having an older family member close by and as people are seeking low-cost alternatives.
Again, that's just one option. And a tricky thing talking about senior housing is that could cover everything from, you know, someone requiring a lot of regular, you know, medical check-ins and things like that to somebody living completely independently and all points in between. Can you talk about some of the variety of senior housing options people might be looking for?
Absolutely. So one of the you know, just calling out a challenge right away that I see is that I think there's a longstanding public perception that when we get old, we need to leave the place we're in and live somewhere else. And we have this image of the place, and it's not very pleasant sometimes. So along with this can come a stirring fear of loss and dread towards growing old, an assumption that as we grow old, we're going to lose our comfort and loss of home and loss of freedom and independence. But the reality is that there are a whole lot of options, including options for the home. For some people, it's as simple as moving a bedroom to the main floor, installing grab bars in the bathroom, removing rugs and things like that, making simple home modifications that can make a home safe for a long time, frankly, for a number of older adults. But then there's other older adults, of course, because we're also very diverse, that need a little bit more care and support. And the care and support can be provided in our own homes, and it can also be provided in facility-based care and with other community resources.
Now, we hear about a tough housing market lately for anybody. Forget about the age, high costs in some cases, a lack of availability. Is that making senior housing more of a challenge?
It certainly is, although in some parts of our state, actually, there's an abundance of certain types of facilities, like assisted living facilities, for example. But let me talk about costs for a minute, because I think, you know, that definitely we've been seeing that in all markets, and that is very true in senior living as well, across provider types, actually, of long-term care services and facilities. We are seeing steadily increasing costs. In fact, just last year, or the latest data we have from 2020 to 2021, we saw a 5% increase in the cost of assisted living facilities and adult day services across the country, and a 2% increase in nursing home costs. Now, those percentages may not sound big, but I don't know that everybody realizes how expensive some of these places can run. So, for example, a nursing home in Wisconsin can cost about $117,000 a year, and that would be for a private room, and even for a shared room or a semi-private room, that can run $108,000. Assisted living facilities are a little less expensive, but you can still service sticker shock for people who see, you know, the annual median there is $54,000 per year, or about $4,600 a month. So the cost is steep in general, and the more that those costs, you know, increase, the harder it is for people to even consider some of these facilities, at least privately paying for them.
We're talking to Carrie Mulkey, director of the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources at Wisconsin's Department of Health Services, talking about senior living options, a wide variety. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this your life right now? If you're getting older, trying to plan, you know, what's my next step? Where am I going to live next? Or can I make my current housing situation work as I get older? Looking at different facilities, are you a family member helping someone else deal with these things, search things out, make the decisions, share your experiences or your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Carrie, suppose somebody is just starting this process, a senior maybe working with their family saying, okay, I like my house, but I see a point in the next couple of few years where I'm going to need to move out of here and something else. Can you define some of the options? Like, we hear a lot of different phrases like assisted living. Can you tell us a few of the different things that are maybe next steps and what they involve?
I really appreciate this question because this is the time that it's really important to talk about it prior to needing some of these services and supports, excuse me. One thing I would say is that you don't need to do this alone. And Wisconsin has a really amazing resource, in fact, uniquely Wisconsin, called Aging and Disability Resource Centers. And they are available in every single community across the state. So I encourage you, if you are starting to think about what options are available to you locally, because I can talk about statewide options, and I'll do that in just a second. But each community has different resources available, and that Aging and Disability Resource Center in your community can help you sort through your own options, your own scenario, your own situation, and link you with what's available locally. So I encourage listeners to go to findmyadrc.org, and you'll be able to find contact information for your local resource center. That said, prior to contacting them, or you know, even if you don't reach out to them, I do think it's really helpful to understand what some of those options are that are available to you. So starting from the services that can be brought into people's homes. I mentioned home modifications a little bit earlier. So sometimes just, you know, one-time services like that, where it's a one-time cost, you can install grab bars and so on. But then you can also pay for things like personal care, which can help people with activities of daily living and the some of the chore services that get a little harder as we age. So all of those and more are available in for people to stay in the home that they're in. Then for people who are maybe interested in leaving, that, you know, is sometimes people want to get out of their home as they age or as things change. So assisted living is an umbrella term that we use. There's actually different types of assisted living in the state, and they have different regulations associated with them. We have community-based residential facilities, and which tend to be one room within a broader space, not always. But then we also have residential care apartment complexes, and the name gives it away. They're apartments, so these are places that have a little bit more space for people to live in. There's also smaller living arrangements, adult family homes, which is also a regulated setting. It tends to include people, three to four people that are living together and receiving care services in a home. I'm glad that you mentioned the ideas of granny flats or mother-in-law suites, the pods, you know, that people can you know, put on site perhaps of, you know, a family member. So there really are a whole lot of options, and the options vary across the state, and you don't have to do this alone. So reach out to those who can help facilitate this for you.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Sarah is with us now in Whitewater. Sarah, hi.
Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for this topic. It's so on point with what my husband and I are going through right now. We've made a lot of modifications to the home to make things easier for him as he faces mobility issues. And we have not feared our next move by doing proper planning. And this is so on point for so many people. you don't have to leave your home. You absolutely don't. And if you do, my husband and I have decided we do need to go to a more temperate climate. We've turned it into something that's very exciting and planning to downsize into an area where there are same amenities that I can find in our beautiful home state of Wisconsin, and yet a little better tempered climate for the two of us, and surrounded by health care and surrounded by those things that he will eventually need. It certainly doesn't have to be scary as long as you plan ahead and treat it like the big adventure that it is.
Sarah, thanks so much for sharing that. Congrats on the planning. Maybe we can set up a cheese care package for you, because the cheese, wherever you're going, isn't going to be as good. But Carrie, a big thumbs up, I imagine, to Sarah's message of planning to make it less scary.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. I wish I could change the climate. That isn't something I can offer up about, but I agree with Sarah wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, what she raises for me too, which is an important point that I like to make in any presentation I give, is that we really need to change how we view aging. And it's instead of having it be a scary thing, something we fear, something we dread, there's a whole lot of benefit that comes from growing old, not just from an individual point of view, but our communities can benefit so much from having a growing aging population, which of course is happening in this state and all across the nation and the world, frankly.
Sarah, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, looking at the challenges and the opportunities when it comes to finding housing for seniors in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been in the market looking for your next step, or helping maybe a parent or other loved one do the same? What has worked for you? What challenges have you found? Have you found ways to overcome those challenges? Do you have questions for our guest? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources in Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. She's with us today with guidance on navigating housing for seniors, the different considerations we face when it comes to affordability, independence, healthcare needs, and more. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had an experience lately with the senior housing market? Are you making decisions right now for yourself or helping a loved one along? Are you finding things that you need where you need them? Or have you had to move? What are some of the biggest challenges you've encountered? Call in now at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your experiences, or your questions. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie, I think something a lot of families encounter at one point or another is, you know, as we get older, maybe I can live just fine independently, but I'm hitting a point where driving isn't an option anymore. And that can be, I think, a thing that drives an end to that sort of housing independence for some people. Are there ways around that? Are there ways to help people stay in their home when they in their post-driving career?
I appreciate this question, because I often frame transportation as our entree into the world. So it is really important, especially with isolation and loneliness, you know, that can come with aging too. So this is a big policy area that we work on a regular basis. There are some communities that have different resources for transportation, whether it's public transportation or paratransit options. But for rural areas, it gets to be a little more challenging. So I do know that there's a lot of communities that have set up different mechanisms for driving folks together. And a lot of volunteerism is something that we're always looking for. So people who are willing to volunteer some of their time to drive family and friends around, community members, you know, even people they don't know, but, you know, who understand the importance of getting around and how important transportation is. So I think, you know, the other piece too is that we assume that people, I think, you know, losing your driver's license or, you know, out of concern, There's a lot of fear about losing your driver's license. And I think sometimes we take that driver's license away too soon. So I think it's important to have a true sense of where family members are at in terms of driving. And again, knowing what your options are, should you be struggling or when it is time perhaps to, you know, give up the keys and find other ways to get around.
Now, another challenge people may see, and I've seen this in my own family over the years, you know, say a couple, one spouse is developing more and more healthcare needs past the point where their spouse can really do that for them, but maybe short of the point where they want to go and live in some kind of assisted care facility. Are there things out there to help people with, you know, some sort of in-home care?
Absolutely. There are many, many, many options for that. And, you know, first, let me just say thank you to all of the people who are serving as caregivers out there. In fact, that is what the biggest way that long-term care services are being provided is it's from spouses and other family members. And so one thing I want to add quickly is that there is support for caregivers because we acknowledge and understand how important their role is. And so ways to avoid that burnout, ways to avoid some of the physical, you know, issues that can come if we have to help with transporting somebody and physically, you know, with mobility issues and those sorts of things. So so first, reach out if you are a caregiver that, you know, is struggling. We do want to help you to sustain you in that role and find happiness in that space. If it gets to be to the place, of course, where you physically can't do it anymore, mentally, emotionally, all those things that can occur. Again, there's just a number of in-home services that can assist you in, again, whether it's things like help around the house or mowing the lawn or a lot of those daily sorts of activities that we have to do to stay in our own homes and also to care for ourselves. So this home health care is readily available in many parts of the state. One thing I'd also mention is that we are, some people frame it as a crisis, and I guess I would echo that in that we are actually losing a number of people in our direct care workforce for both home care services and in facility-based care. So this is another big policy, you know, question that we're working towards. Last, what I would say is it's okay to rely on our neighbors. I think we need to do that a little more. Being good community members and you know, building relationships across our neighborhoods can also be a tremendous source of help for caregivers or people who where, you know, especially where there's one person who really needs help and another person who's providing that level of care for someone.
Let's go back to our callers with Bruce on the line in Green Bay. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Bruce?
Well, I was long-term care insurance, have paid the same policy for 10 years, my wife and I, at the same rate. Now, they send me a letter telling me in the next 3 years I can expect a 75% increase in my premiums. That doesn't seem right.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Bruce, having long-term care insurance, seeing his policies go up, Carrie, is that something you've been running into?
Absolutely, and I'm not an expert in long-term care insurance, I will admit, but I do know that there are some pieces of advice I guess I would have for your callers related to this is that I think it's really important to, of course, read the fine print as it is with most things that we're purchasing. We do know that sometimes, so it's not just about increasing costs, but sometimes the long-term care insurance doesn't cover what people think it will cover. So, for example, some long-term care insurance doesn't cover home care. So as we've been talking about that a lot here in the last half an hour, there are some policies that don't cover, you know, all the benefits and some of the options that people want to choose or select when it comes time to use their long-term care insurance. So here, too, there are people who can help you sort through some of this, and you can find them at the Aging and Disability Resource Center. Benefit specialists are the position title, so to speak, of the folks that can help you sort through a lot of those issues before you make purchases or over time if you have questions about them.
Bruce, thanks for that call. And Carrie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources in the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. She was with us today to help us with some of the top considerations and challenges facing people looking for all the different kinds of senior housing. We heard a note, got a note, Stella in Sturgeon Bay called in, couldn't stay on the line. Strongly recommends finding caregiver support networks in your area. If you're someone who is providing care for a spouse or other loved one in this situation, she says seek out these caregiver support groups. And you could still share your own, maybe, suggestions for others. If you've learned a lesson, found a great support in your area, tell us about it. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and let us and everybody else know about it.